Hello, friends, and welcome back to my afternoon show starting at 3 p.m. Pacific time. And I'm so glad you're all here. This is Ted from Out of This World Radio. And today's show will be a very interesting topic, I think. It's a comparison between Atlantis, when they destroyed themselves 12,500 years ago, and the United States of today. In Japan, psychics call the United States Atlantis 2.0. And in Japan, they call Japan Lemuria 2.0 because of the historical parallels between the United States and Japan and Atlantis. And back about more than 10,000 years ago when Atlantis destroyed itself. History, for those, there's a fellow in the 19th century, Lord Acton, who said that those who fail to learn the lessons of history will be doomed to repeat their mistakes. So I think it's useful to examine Atlantis and what they did right, what they did wrong, and how those lessons can be learned to help our own situation today. Let me bring up, I've got lots of notes to bring up. Hold on, I'm going to do that now. Here we go. Actually, the first beings on this planet were the reptilians, and they had come here first. The planet itself was created as an experiment. And so ever since that time, the reptiles have thought that this is their planet. So that's where they're coming from. That's why they're here. The humans from Atlantis and Lemuria came here more than 200,000 years ago. And the Atlanteans inhabited the Atlantic continent between America, Europe, and Africa. So it was a huge area, much bigger than it was later. And the Lemurians inhabited the main Lemurian continent with Maui as its base. Actually, before Lemuria, there was another continent south of India, west of Australia, called Mu, M-U. And there was a fellow named Churchward in the 19th century who was a British officer stationed in India. He made friends with one of the people, a Hindu priest at this temple in India. And the priest had all these old records. We're talking ancient records, tens of thousands of years old, on the history of Mu. And that led into the history of Atlantis and Lemuria as well. It's a fascinating story. I urge you to get his book. It's called, the last name is Churchward, and it's still in print. And I've got a copy. It's just fascinating reading. But if you read that, you'll realize that there's a lot of history, historical remnants of both Mu and Lemuria and Atlantis here on the planet. Did you know, for example, that the Inca Indians in Peru came from the word Incala? Incala, that's right. And the Incalas were from Atlantis. They were a priestly class, and they fled to what is now Peru and established a civilization there. That's why when the Incas came to Peru, they established this flourishing civilization with advanced knowledge of stone construction and mathematics and science. And it came actually from Atlantis. There's a lot of historical precedents. If you look at the Mesoamerican cultures in Mexico and Guatemala, a lot of their religion came from Atlantis because the Atlanteans were worshipers of the sun, just like many sun-based religions are today among the native peoples in Mesoamerica and in South America, and especially around Peru. That's why Peru is such a fascinating place to go to, because what you're looking at the remnants of Atlantis, and also Lemuria as well. There's a whole bunch of things to go over today, and I'll try to get everything in. People may ask, well, where did the Sasquatch came from? The Sasquatch were created by benevolent ETs about 300,000 years ago, and the benevolent extraterrestrial humans wanted to jumpstart the evolution of this planet with a hybrid race of their own. And they made a hybrid people. It was from benevolent extraterrestrials, humans, who were able to shift between, travel between different dimensions, and an ancient sloth that disappeared about 200,000 years ago. And today there are four different races or species, if you will, of the Sasquatch. The one closest to us are called the ancient ones, and they have fine fur all over their bodies. Now, if a member of the ancient ones, the Sasquatch, who look just like us except they've got fine fur all over their body, if they have a fam, they can have a family with any with a human here on the surface, and they'll have the viable offspring. And the other three are much hairier individuals, but it depends upon how much DNA from the ancient sloth is in their system. The less DNA from the sloth, the more human they look. The more DNA from the sloth, the more hairier they look. But they are able to travel dimensionally. At the time, unfortunately, the Atlanteans looked at these Sasquatch, if you will, or Chartreuse. It's another name for them. The Sasquatch themselves don't like the word. That word Sasquatch because it means wild beast, and they don't consider themselves wild beasts. No, they're very benevolent, loving creatures, beings, and if you can call them anything but Sasquatch, it would be better. But I'll call them Chartreuse for today. They are able to travel between the third, fourth, and fifth dimension. That's why they're able to disappear so much, and they have that genetics in them, the DNA. I first ran into the Sasquatch traveling in Washington State up in the Cascade Mountains, where I could feel their presence. They were all looking at me and my friend. Oh, we were up there, and when we first drove up there, there were rocks everywhere made in this pyramid form, and the rocks of the pyramid are actually boundary markers for the Chartreuse. So when you drove past a certain point, they were telling you that that was their territory. If you were to knock the rocks down, they would not be very happy about that because that's their boundary marker. They delineate their property lines. They don't care who supposedly owns the property, but that's their land there. And you have to respect that. So if you're out in the woods, whether you're in North America or even Japan, I've seen the same things in Japan too, where there's been like a stack of rocks going up into a pinnacle. That is the boundary marker for the Sasquatch or the Chartreuse. So it's good to respect that. I've also seen them quite a bit at Mount Shasta. Those boundary markers have been there, and they're benevolent, and they will help you if you ask. They want us to succeed and to evolve as well. Unfortunately, the Atlanteans looked at the Chartreuse or the Sasquatch as competitors, and they wanted to kill them. And so, round about 200,000 years ago, the Sasquatch went into hiding. The Chartreuse went into hiding, and that's why you don't see them very often today. They're very good about disappearing into the higher dimensions when they need to. The same thing happened to the proverbial what's called little people in Ireland, because in these little people in Ireland would also usually show themselves as well before the Atlanteans. But when the Atlanteans came and they came to colonize Ireland, these little called the wee people, the green people, they would disappear because the Atlanteans viewed them as a threat. They wanted the whole planet to themselves, and they would try to kill them. The other thing I have to tell you is that there's a lot of creatures out there, beings out there who you can't see with the naked eye, but you can see them with night vision goggles, for example. That is very, very true. On my trips to Shasta now, I bring binoculars, which are night vision goggles, and you can not only see the ships, but you can also see these other beings running around. You can see orbs, all kinds of amazing things. If you just look, you can find them. The Atlanteans reached their peak civilization about 150 to 2,000, 200,000 years ago, and they created space travel with ships called vessels, which could travel up to about 1,200 miles per hour, give or take, and they could reach any place on the planet. For example, they could go from Atlantis to what is now India or Hindustan, probably about 7 hours. That's the book I was reading, about 7 hours to get there. And unfortunately, they reached their pinnacle. They were in love and light, and they turned away from God, if you will, and started going down a negative path, thinking that they are God and they have the ability to create any kind of beings that they want. And there's a lot of parallels with the Atlantean civilization. And now many of the spirits who were alive during the Atlantean times have come back to this time in human history. They've been given a chance to correct their mistakes. Some have made good choices and some haven't. George Bush Sr., for example, was in Atlantis during this peak time. And he tried to control the Earth, ended up destroying Atlantis with a group of military and civilian leaders. And he made the same mistake now. He made wrong choices for a, quote, new world order, where humanity would be enslaved, and there would be no freedom. One thing that people don't realize is that toward the end of the Atlantean era, about 12,500 years ago, they also had a shot program where they're giving them out to their people on this planet in an attempt to control them, using the same technology that's present in today's shot program. All this weird crap with the mRNA shots, the 187 different diseases in these shots, all the deaths, that was also part of the Atlantean shot program too. I know that you're not going to find anything written on it, but I've been told by my galactic friends that is true. What's fascinating about the Atlanteans is that it's interesting comparing and contrasting the Atlanteans and the Lemurians. The Lemurians were a spiritual based people. They did everything through their heart. The Atlanteans were a technologically advanced civilization based more upon, this is toward the end, negativity and service to self versus service to others and love. That's what the Lemurians were based on, service to others and love. The center of their civilization was in Maui. And if you go to Maui today, there is a, I can't remember the name of the mountain peak, but if you go to the very top of Maui, you will see steps. I'm told this, I've seen these steps actually, the locals told me about it, where they've got steps going down this mountain at the very top. Those steps are left over from Lemuria, and they are at least 15,000, maybe 20,000 years old. That's right, they're there. And you can see some structures at the very top. They're still there. I've actually astral traveled back to that time when Lemuria was in existence. And the thing was, is that I was able to see the civilization and visit people there. It's fun to astral travel and do remote viewing. I do that quite a bit. In Atlantis, just before they destroyed themselves, I was a priest in a temple there, trying to stop the madness, trying to turn things around so they wouldn't destroy themselves. There was not only myself, but of course many, many other light workers there at the time who tried to do the same thing, and many of the souls who were in existence back then have come back now, and so this is like a play. It's kind of like Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. Things kind of repeat themselves over and over again. Well, we're back on the same stage again, like in some Shakespearean play. And many of the light workers who were alive during the Atlantean and Lemurian times are back now. And we're still trying to help with the ascension to create a better and happier planet where people don't live in war and conflict and disharmony, but they actually live in a very beautiful planet. So that is happening. So that is happening now. The difference between 12,500 years ago when Atlantis destroyed itself and today is that many of those souls who made wrong choices 12,500 years ago during the Atlantean times have come back and they finally realized their errors and they're doing good things. Also, now we have backing of the Supreme Being, or God, if you will, to turn this planet around and make it a beautiful and happy place. This is not to say that the negatives aren't devious, that they're not part of an evil force that's trying to stop our evolution. So you have to be careful nowadays. The vibrations of the planet are rising extremely rapidly right now. That's why perhaps some people may feel tired, and that's one way for your body to adjust to the new vibrations. For tens of thousands of years, we have existed at a Schumann rate, a frequency rate of 7.8 hertz. All this changed in September 2016, when the frequency rate doubled from 7.8 to 13.8 hertz, and it's up. After that, it's just gone nothing but up, up and away. And this planet is becoming a love planet. I've talked to President Kennedy about this before, and he told me some fascinating things, including the planet itself is becoming like a big bright white light ball of light and it's becoming brighter and brighter as each day passes. You know, they all tried to kill us with the shot program, but it's not working very well. There are a lot of people, unfortunately, exiting and who are dying from the shots. And I think the people who advocated these shots should be arrested for crimes against humanity, treated like the Nazis, and executed for their crimes, because this is nothing but genocide, absolutely genocide. But I'm not going to go too much into that, except that we are making the same mistakes. Many of the people here, the negative ones who are doing this to our own people, are making the same mistakes as we did back in Atlantis. As Dr. Pilevsky said in his interview earlier today on my morning show, he said there's an evil force on this planet that's trying to kill us. And we have to stand strong, be strong, work together, and know that we're getting help from God and the angels and advanced extraterrestrials beyond this planet so that we can survive this and get through it. One other thing I wanted to tell you about today is to compare computers back in Atlantis and Lemuria and in Telos and current computers. Our current computers are, they're metal-based. They have a limited storage capacity. They work well. But you might want to ask, well, did the Atlanteans and Lemurians and do the Telosians of today, do they have computers? And the answer is all yes. The Atlanteans started out with metal computers, but over the course of 200,000, or I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of years they were here, but for over a long period of time, they started experimenting with water-based computers. And they had something called Easy Water. That's a term coined by Professor Jerry Pollack, my good friend at the University of Washington, the famous water professor. And the molecular structure was H2O3. In other words, there were three oxygen molecules for every two of the hydrogen. And the sheet of oxygen molecules attached to the hydrogen was used as a storage device for information. During the Atlantean times, they created water up to H2O13. O13 refers to 13 layers of sheets of oxygen molecules, which stored information with a fantastic memory attached to that. And this is little known, but I discovered several years ago that Bill Gates has a research laboratory formulating water-based computers now in Copenhagen, Denmark. You can look it up on the web if you like, but it's there. And I'm sure he's trying to determine the secrets. But it's a fascinating thing that what the Atlanteans used. I had a fellow on my show named Matthias DiStefano. He had detailed memories of living in Atlantis 15,000 years ago. He's a fellow in his early 30s, and he said that when Atlantis destroyed itself 12,500 years ago, of course their water-based computers went underneath the ocean in the Atlantic. But I asked him, what about the information stored in these water-based computers? He said it was like scattering books everywhere on the floor. There was no reason, no rhyme. All the information is still there, he said, in the Atlantic Ocean from Atlantis. And it's still all there, where there were also water-based computers in the Mediterranean, especially the Eastern Mediterranean. Close to the Library of Alexander in ancient Greece as well. It's still all there in the salt water. And one day he said something fascinating. He said, one day the people here on this planet, your scientists will be able to pick up these books, pick up a glass of water from the Atlantic Ocean or from the Mediterranean, and pick up these ancient records of what civilization was like during the Atlantean times. And that's always stuck in my head from what he said that. And I think we're headed that way now. Eventually, if we don't destroy ourselves and take the negative path, we will reach that point where we will be able to read the documents from the Atlantean times. The other thing too I want to tell you is that the Talosians of today, when the Atlanteans blew up much of the planet 12,500 years ago, they were able to escape at the last minute with about 25,000 of their people. Now, mind you, they had 1.3 million people in Lemuria, but they were able to escape with about 25,000 people. And they went into, with their technology intact, and they went into a huge cavern underneath Mount Shasta. It's about 125 miles beneath Mount Shasta. And they live in a higher dimension. They have an artificial sun that produces a golden light. And if you're down there, there's no shadows. Isn't that interesting? I've been down there before, and it's fascinating, really. You stand around and you say, gee whiz, where's my shadow? It's not there because it's an artificial light. But they live in the fifth dimension. They're very beautiful people. They look just like us, maybe a little stockier, a little taller, but otherwise they're just like us. They communicate telepathically. They don't eat meat. They're very advanced, and they do come to the surface once in a while to see, check on us here, but they don't actively engage us too much. But they're starting to come to the surface now as we evolve. They're waiting for us to shift into the higher dimensions. We've started in the fourth dimension now, and 2 years we'll be in the fifth dimension, and then they'll start coming, and you'll see a lot more of them. When it's safe for them to come up to the surface, they will, they say. Not quite safe yet. There's actually a war that's been going on now at Shasta and some other beautiful places around the planet. It's not enough for the reptilians to control us. It's not enough for them to create the mRNA technology and give it to Big Pharma to kill us with their shot program. It's not enough for them to control us and kill us. No, they want to control not only the surface of the planet, but they also want to go into the hollow earth too and control the civilizations there as well. One thing the reptilians fail to realize is that their technology is only 10,000 years ahead of us. And the Pleiadians, the Galactics, their technology is between 50 and 100,000 years ahead of us. So in any conflict, you can see who would win. However, the Galactics, Galactic Alliance, the Pleiadians, they still have to be careful because the reptiles do have some powerful weapons, and they don't want them to destroy the planet. But at any rate, that gives you a little bit of history of what's going on. And then what I'll do is I'll compare and contrast both civilizations. I think you'll find it fascinating. This is going to be the basis of my new book, my next new book, my fourth book that I'm starting to write now with Adama's help and Pleiadian Admiral Halosaurus's help and my guides. So it should be an interesting book. The Talosians, guess the Talosians today in the Hollow Earth, in Telos, they have computers too, but their computers are different than the water-based computers. They're a little step beyond that. They used amino acid computers. In other words, computers based upon amino acids. And the amino acids themselves are living organisms which store memory. And they communicate with their computers through their mind, much like the plebeians do. The ship, if you will, the Pleiadian ship that I go to frequently, is actually a living being, and it's got a consciousness. And the crew members and the flight engineers and the admiral, they all communicate with the ship telepathically. So if you're having a bad day and you're in a bad mood and you're thinking rotten thoughts, you shouldn't go to work that day. because you could destroy the ship by thinking bad thoughts or being in a bad mood. In third dimension, it can affect things negatively too, but it's not quite the same. But they're very careful who they let up on board the ship. They have to be in a good mood and be very positive because they don't want anyone thinking bad thoughts, and then suddenly the ship has exploded or whatever. But they don't want the ship to be damaged, of course. There are stories, by the way, at Area 51, that secret base that's not so secret anymore. Everybody knows about it. It's between Reno and Las Vegas in the Nevada desert, where our government has captured technology, extraterrestrial technology, and the propulsion systems only work if you communicate telepathically with the UFO itself and you think positive thoughts. If you have good thoughts and you can communicate telepathically with this UFO, you can fly it actually, and it runs. But if you don't communicate telepathically and or you think negative thoughts, the ship will not run. So that's what I remember reading that years ago. I thought that was just fascinating. But there are organic ships out there and shuttlecraft. But this is where we're headed for, my friend. It's a whole new world we'll be entering, and we are right at the turning point. Next month, October 2022. Notice all those twos in there. Two is actually one plus one, so it's actually an angelic number. Next month is going to be what my Pleiadian friends say will be a game changer. And the day of October 22nd will be especially profound. Now, I'm not sure what's going to happen that day. My Pleiadian friends and galactic friends have not told me exactly what's going to happen because they don't want to influence our free will. Good things. Just hang on there, my friends. Just hang on there. The other thing I want to tell you too is don't trust anybody who tells you to trust the plan. That's what Q was saying about a year, year and a half ago. Trust the plan. He used to be on my radio show, and he said, just trust the plan. In other words, sit back, watch TV, have another beer, and don't worry about anything. Well, that's a psyop. That's a way to so that you don't do anything. You have to work to an ascension. All of us have to put in the work in improving ourselves, being more mindful of what we say, do, and think, of making right choices. You can't just sit back and trust the plan as if somebody's going to do it for you. That's bad information, bad advice, and I wouldn't follow it. I don't know what he's saying now. I know he's on other shows, but I don't follow him now for that reason. That's misinformation, and it shouldn't be followed because all of us have a duty. We're all here with a purpose. For most people here on the planet, we're here to hold the light and raise the light for not only ourselves, but our family and friends. And as President Kennedy told me about a year, year and a half ago, if you want to change the world, look no farther than your family. I'm sure all of us out there have friends or family who perhaps aren't woken up, or they refuse to wake up, or they can't believe that if it's not on CNN, it's not true. There are people like that, I know. But just do your best. I think there's going to be earth-shaking revelations this fall, especially October, November, that will force people to wake up. It's a little bit like it'll wake them up in a good and bad way, I guess. You could look at it at the end of World War II, where the concentration camp in Dachau and near Munich in southern Germany, there's this concentration located there during the war. And the local townspeople got in an argument with the US Army. They said, oh, that's just American propaganda about the concentration camps. We don't believe you. So what the commander did is he took all the people from this town and said, okay, I'm going to force you to march through this concentration camp, and you're going to see what your government did. And that's exactly what he did, so that people would remember. And I'm glad he did. It wasn't pleasant to see those things, but it's going to be the same kind of experience. And certainly if anyone's lost a loved one recently from the shot program, you know what I'm talking about. To trust in big pharma, have misplaced trust in big pharma, misplaced trust in the fake Biden administration, misplaced trust in fake governments in this world that tell you lies until you get a shot and they say it's safe and effective, and then you have your mother, father, relative, brother, sister, friend, family, spouse, partner die suddenly from that same shot. It makes you kind of question, are they lying to us? You betcha they are, because they have a hidden agenda. And but we have a beautiful, beautiful future ahead of us, and we just need to be prepared for that. And no one's going to do it for us, because We are the answers ourselves as to what we've been looking for. Travel is still restricted internationally nowadays, and it's hard for some people to travel. Like I refuse to get the vaccine, and but if you are able to get to Japan, and you talk to psychics there, it's very interesting because in Japan, the psychics there, the spiritual people I know. Guess what they call the United States? They call us Atlantis 2.0 because they see the same trends happening in the United States that happened at the very end, which led to the decline of the Atlantean civilizations. And in Japan, they call themselves Lemuria 2.0 because Japan was at the far end of Lemurian civilization. And to that end, there's a beautiful temple located underneath the water. I believe it's outside of Okinawa in southern Japan, called Yonaguchi, I believe. Let me see if I can get a picture of that here, real quick. I will. I'm a little technologically challenged, so I'm going to try to get to share this screen. All right, there it is. Let me share this here. There we go. You see that? That's an actual temple. That's actual temple, just on the off the island of Okinawa. Graham Hancock has actually, wonderful fellow from England. He's been on my show before. Writes great books. I really like his work. He's been on dives down there. I don't know how many times. And this is an entire temple structure. I forget how deep it is, but it's off the coast of Okinawa. And geologists say that the last time that this temple was above water was about 10 to 12,000 years ago. Since that time, of course, there were melting of the polar ice caps, and that led to the rising of the ocean, and so it got covered up. But this is a temple that was intact, that's intact, and our traditional earth scientists can't explain it, but I know what it is. It's just the remnants of Atlantis. And there are temples like this. There are structures like this off of Bimini, off of Cuba as well. There's the Bimini Road, for example, in the Bahamas, where they've got rocks like this at temples and also like a quay or a road beneath the ocean. The evidence is all there. We just haven't discovered it yet. But there are tremendous artifacts all over the planet. If you look, it really you can understand that we've been through this before, and this is a planet that has a very old and ancient history. And again, this is the seventh time we have tried to ascend. So we're doing this all again. But I know that we will make the right choices and evolve this time finally. It's let me get back to there we go. The Atlanteans reached a pinnacle in their civilization about 200,000 years ago, 150,000 to 200,000 years ago, and then they went down a negative path. And instead of being service to others, they became service to self, and they tried to control all the civilizations on this planet. They tried to do it through a shock program like they're doing today. They tried to do it through threatening the use of nuclear and crystalline technology. And they finally ended up destroying themselves about 12,500 years ago. The supreme being, or God, if you will, who created all that there is on this planet, did not want any civilization that breaks cosmic laws, and they were breaking many cosmic laws back during the Atlantean time, wanted an end to that civilization because they were destroying the planet and destroying themselves as well. One interesting thing, and I got a lot of points here to share with you today. One interesting thing is that hold on here. There we go. Get me back on track. Is that the they had a vaccine program during the end of Atlantis, like we're having now. It was an attempt to control people. There is a cosmic law against mixing the DNA of humans and animals and other creatures. But that's what the Atlanteans did. Mermaids and mermen actually are a cross between dolphins and humans. And the Atlanteans decided to create these hybrid human dolphin beings to go out and get seafood for them in the Atlantic Ocean. Of course, when Atlantis imploded and that civilization sank beneath the waves, you had lots of mermaids and mermen left over, and they formed their own families in pods all over the world. So they're all over the world right now. And often it's fun for me to go out to the coast here, the Pacific coast in Washington State, and talk to the mermaids and mermen. They're out there. They're beautiful people, if you will. They're people, they're humans from the waist up, and from the waist down, they're dolphins. They don't have many children. They have some, but not many. And they live for a long time. They're very benevolent, loving beings, and they can communicate telepathically. When I go out to the ocean, I usually what I do is I walk out into the surf and then just connect mind to mind to them and talk to them. They're not happy that we haven't taken good care of this planet, and they understand the need for a purge, if you will, a cleaning of the planet to get rid of the negative people, the negative elements who've been destroying this planet for their own selfish gain. But it is it's happening right now, and sometime if people who live in the Washington State area would like to come with me to the ocean, I'd be happy to take you out there and we can all talk to the I'll teach you how to talk to the mermaids and mermen. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, believe me, it's a lot of fun. One thing that's been happening, I don't know if people have noticed it or not, but I do like to collect crystals. They're fun and they give a lot of love and support. But the Chinese especially have been collecting crystals over the last couple of years, and they've been also been buying up a lot of mines around the world. At least they were before the scandemic. I don't know what they're doing now. But one of the things, one of the messages I got from the Galactics is that the crystals themselves, especially the clear quartz crystals, are repositories. They're like history books of the past. And what the Chinese have been doing, I'm told, is to buy up as many crystals as possible to distill the knowledge in these crystals of the weapons that the reptilians had, no, that they had during that time. And so if you've seen higher prices for crystals, many of those higher prices are from the demand by the Chinese to buy up the crystals in an attempt to distill it, to get that knowledge out of the ancient Atlantean times. So it's an interesting thing to let you know that that's what my galactics tell me that they've been up to. The Atlantean civilization reached its peak about 200,000 years ago, 150,000 years ago. And then about 50,000 years ago, there was a series of earthquakes that destroyed about two-thirds of the Atlantean continent, leaving a much smaller land mass between America and Europe. The destruction, according to my galactic friends, was meant as a warning to the Atlanteans to wake up and follow the right path, but they still continued with their negative ways. And it's interesting, that's when I came here about 52,000 years ago, both to help with the ascension and also to escape a civil war among the Pleiadians, but also to help turn things around on this planet if possible and stop the movement toward negativity. Of course, I was present 12,500 years ago. I was a priest in a temple, and myself and many other light workers unfortunately failed to stop the destruction and turn that civilization around. But we're back here again, and we're trying to do it again. But except this time, I think we're going to make it. Of all the planets in this universe, people should know that Earth is the toughest one, the hardest one. To do anything to affect any positive change. So if you get frustrated, don't worry. Everyone's feeling the same way sometimes on this planet, but we are making progress, and we're actually, according to my friend Nostradamus, he says we're moving along at a faster rate than he even thought possible back during the 80s. Back during the 80s, there were a series of three books published by Dolores Cannon called Conversations with Nostradamus, volumes 1, 2, and 3. And In those volumes, Dolores Cannon, a wonderful psychic, I knew her when she was alive. She and her students, she took about, I don't remember now, 10, 12 students, psychic students. And they collectively went back and visited Nostradamus back in the 15th century in France. And he interpreted his quatrains for them because he said a lot of his quatrains at that time during the 1980s were being misinterpreted with the wrong messages. So at that time, he saw, Nostradamus saw a new World War III happening in Bosnia-Herzegovina in starting in 1993. And he mentioned Clinton by name when Clinton, President Clinton, he saw him being elected, would give aid to the Muslims living in Bosnia-Herzegovina, and they would take that aid and buy nuclear weapons and start blowing up Europe and the United States. Fortunately, that didn't happen, and peace prevailed instead. The fascinating thing about Nostradamus' books is that he gave detailed scenarios of battles of warfare being used in both North America and Europe, other places on the planet. A lot of people getting killed in that World War III, but none of it happened because it was on an old timeline that never materialized because we ourselves took the initiative to negotiate with the Soviets at the time, ban nuclear weapons, pull back. And I want to thank President Reagan for his work and Premier Gorbachev of the USSR for their wonderful peace efforts because they really made a difference. But especially all the light workers in the world helped turn this, put the pressure on these national leaders to do the right thing and turn us away from a nuclear war that didn't happen. During that time, however, I should tell you, the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s, the Pleiadians and the Galactics stepped in. Oh my gosh, maybe dozen or two dozen times to stop either an American general or a Soviet general from hitting the launch button on a nuclear a weapon firing either at either country, either the USSR or the United States. So they weren't going to let us destroy ourselves through nuclear war, and that was the big issue back with Fukushima. Actually, because Fukushima was actually a staged event. There was no earthquake in the Sea of Japan. It was actually it was done by the cabal with an Israeli submarine that dropped a nuclear bomb at the Sea of Japan at precisely the same location of ley lines for maximum effect, and they blew it up. And just before the tsunami hit, the four nuclear reactors on the east coast of Japan, another Israeli company controlled by the cabal that was in charge of the safety systems at the four Fukushima reactors, they shut off their water supplies, their water safety systems, so no water was covering the reactors. So when the tsunami hit, all of the reactors started going into meltdown, and the cabal wanted to kill us off with massive amounts of radiation all over the earth, so we just die from cancer and other radiation effects. But back in the during the early part from that happened in 2011, and by 2014 there was a huge plume of radioactive water headed toward the west coast of the United States, Canada, and northern Mexico. And the Obama administration at the time had shut down all federal testing laboratories on the West Coast, so people couldn't tell what they were getting when they drank milk. They didn't know how much radiation they were getting. The federal government, Obama, stopped people from testing the fish, so they didn't know how much radiation was in the fish. It was really an awful, awful what was going on. The Galactic stepped in and they cleaned up, and the people on the Hollow Earth stepped in and they cleaned up all the radiation. And there was I remember a story, a true story. I was in touch with California Governor Jerry Brown, his office back in the spring of 14. And our governor, the Washington State Governor Inslee, who's still in office, I guess the Democrats could be elected for life out here, he had shut down all the state testing laboratories, so nobody knew how much radiation was coming in. And so I got a hold of Jerry Brown's office, and I told the staff that. And Governor Brown, to his credit, allowed my nonprofit group to do as much testing of the water off the Washington coast as possible because our Democratic governor wouldn't do it. So I had the water tested down in California, and we sent it back, and all the radiation was gone, absolutely gone. Then Governor Brown started testing the water off California, and he found also the same thing, that all the radiation was gone. So his office, back then he was a good guy, and his office issued a press release on June 1st, 2014, saying that all the radiation had disappeared off the California coast, and he was so happy for that. He didn't know how it was done, but it was gone. And he issued a press release saying that. And guess what happened after that? The press is controlled in California like it is in other parts of the world. And that press release was only heard, only released by newspapers, television, and radio within the borders of California, which Governor Brown had jurisdiction over. If you were in Oregon, that story never played. In Washington, you never heard that. Nevada, Arizona, that story was silence. You didn't hear about that at all. But that was good news. And I want to thank Governor Brown for his efforts back then, for helping us out. That was really a good thing he did when other politicians wouldn't help anything, wouldn't do anything at all. But you see, the Pleiadians and the Galactics, and especially the people of the Hollow Earth, came in and they cleaned up the radiation because they weren't going to let us kill ourselves from the radiation from this nuclear event. In Japan, they call it 311, which is the term for when it happened. It was there. It happened in March of 2011. So there is some radiation still there at Fukushima. TEPCO, the Tokyo Electric Power Company, did have plans a year or two ago to dump all of that radiation into the Pacific. Wouldn't that be nice? Because then we'd end up drinking or getting the radiation in our fish, and it would, of course, go through the water cycles of the planet, and we'd get it up on our rain. But what I did in response to that, I did that about a year ago and 2 years ago. I asked everyone to pray and use what's called the Ho'oponopono water prayer. You say, "I'm sorry, please forgive me. I thank you and we love you," to the water at Fukushima. And with the help of another scientist, Dr. Libby in Montana, we were able to reduce, with the help of all my listeners and around the world, over about 4 or 5 month period, we're able to reduce the amount of radiation at Fukushima from 100% down 90% down to about we reduced the radiation by 90%, so that only 10% of the radiation was left. I think that would be a good thing to do in the future, and I think I'll have another show on that to do it again. I called my friend Dr. Libby over the weekend, and couldn't get a hold of her, but I would like to do that experiment again. It's a very simple one, where everyone says a simple water prayer. They say, "We're sorry, please forgive us, thank you, and we love you." And we say it 3 or 6 times or 9 times anyway. And when you do that, you send positive thoughts to Fukushima, and it will clean up the water. I know Dr. Emoto did that on several experiments. He did when he was alive, back about, my goodness, about 12 years ago or so. He did one experiment where there was a bottle of water on a friend's desk in Los Angeles. He had an office there. So we had about 500 people in outside of Tokyo. And they saw this picture of this water bottle on this desk in Los Angeles, about 8 or 10,000 miles away. So they all did prayers, water prayers, to send positive love and light to this water on this friend's desk. Well, lo and behold, they took electron microscopic pictures of the molecules in that water supply before and after they did the prayers. And before the prayers, there wasn't anything special in the water. It was regular distilled water, but there was no pretty crystals or anything. But after they did the prayers, guess what happened? All these beautiful water crystals showed up. I'll show you a picture of one, love and gratitude. Let me grab it here for you. This picture here is representative of the kind of beautiful water crystals that they had in this water. So the experiment worked. And Dr. Emoto, to his credit, also did experiments with radioactive water as well back in the 90s. He would take a bottle of radioactive water from a nuclear power plant in Japan, and he would write the words love and gratitude in Japanese on the bottle. And then he'd take a copy of one of these pictures of the, this is a loving crystal form from the words love and gratitude, and he'd tape it on the bottle. And he tested the water, and before the here I'll show you another picture. Before the he did the prayers, before he put love and gratitude on it, it was the on the bottom of the on the molecular level, the water looked like little amoebas flying around. Yeah, it was weird looking. Here, I'll show you here. Let me show. Here you go. This is a water sample affected by radioactive material, and you can see that there. It's in my book, right there. See it? There. It looks like it's a strange mass. There's no water crystals in it at all. That's radiation right there you're looking at. And within about 48 hours after he put this love and gratitude. Took this picture of love and gratitude and pasted it on the bottle of radioactive water, and wrote the words love and gratitude. Guess what happened? Beautiful crystals like this one formed. I'll show you here. There it is, right there. But the water became very, very high vibrational, and guess what happened to the radiation? Gone. All of it gone. Now, I mentioned this before in my show, how difficult would it be for TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power Company, to write the words love and gratitude in any language? It could be English, Japanese, you name it, Russian, and write it on the radioactive waste tanks at Fukushima. In theory, all the radiation should disappear within 48 hours, and this beautiful crystals like this one here should appear. And to make sure it worked, if you put pictures of love and gratitude on the holding tanks at Fukushima, there's no reason why this wouldn't work. Here in the United States, of course, we've got holding tanks of radiation left over from the manufacture of nuclear weapons in World War II at Hanford in Eastern Washington. It's a big business to to take care of these radioactive bins of water. And they do leak, by the way. I mean, it's been what now, over 70 years since they've been there. And the tanks do leak over time. So it goes into the water supply system and also into the Columbia River. Why can't they do that? Why can't they write the words love and gratitude on the radioactive holding tanks in Hanford in Eastern Washington, and perhaps put pictures of these love and gratitude crystals as well? Because according to Dr. Emoto, all the radiation would be gone within 48 hours. Simple to me. It might cost, I don't know, a couple dollars to do it, but it'd sure be a lot less expensive and more effective than all their holding tanks. At any rate, we are powerful spiritual beings. We are ascending right now. Don't let my guides are telling me, and President Kennedy has just come in, and he said, don't let them stop you in your path, become gods and goddesses. That's Zora. Zora's here now too. He just said that. Don't let them stop you from becoming gods and goddesses, because that's what we are. We all have that spark of God within us. Because I don't want to go back to the old ways. I don't want to go back to an earth where we're all fighting and there's complete disharmony. Look at the way they've tried to split us up with this scamdemic now. I mean, it's so silly. We were doing so well a couple of years ago, on our way to the new dimensions, and we still are. I think there's a lot of ascension, a lot of light workers right now, but we have to be respectful of this planet and learn to live in harmony and peace. That's what Dr. Emoto wanted us to do, and I think that that's what we should do. And that's the purpose of my show, of course, is to try to make this world a much better and happier place. You know, there's a there we're they are trying to stop our evolution in many different ways, and one of the ways they're doing it is by controlling the information. And that's why I think programs such as mine and other people's shows are so important, because we get the truth out. You know, I don't I'm it's a, I love giving people the truth and then letting them make up their own minds as to how they what they should do. But I think people are getting tired of the lies on the mass media, especially in the United States and other countries. I guess it was what, last year or 2 years ago, the Cartoon Channel had more viewers than CNN did in the United States. So, that's how much people believe in their credibility, which is just amazing. One of the things that we're doing in the United States now and other countries that's against cosmic law and that will not be tolerated for the long term are cloning people. And they've been doing this for quite some time. If you look at Biden, I don't know, some of the so-called people that come out, they look like clones. And I'm sure people have a lot of different opinions about that. When Trudeau was facing the protesters in Ottawa in the spring of this year, the Canadian military, to their credit, refused to step in. Also, the police in Ottawa refused to step in. So what Trudeau did, he was pretty crafty. He brought in clones from Germany, and the clones all looked the same. They wore the same uniforms. They were the same height, same facial expressions, same features, and they came in and killed people and beat them up. That's how Trudeau handled democracy in Canada. Some say that the Chinese, actually, that half their population is cloned. And so that if they have a war and they lose part of their army, it's like, so what? Because they can make clones of their troops and just use them in war. For those of you in Australia, and I'm sure people in Australia know this, the police in Melbourne, there was a situation where the Premier of Victoria, which is it. Where Melbourne is, and the Prime Minister of Australia brought in clones from China, and they were used against the protesters with rubber bullets and killing and beating up people, because the clones have no emotions; they're just biological entities. And so these clones have been used, and any civilization, any government that uses clones in that matter is doomed to fail, because you're violating cosmic law. And that's why Atlantis destroyed itself, because they were violating cosmic law. They were mixing human and animal genes. They were giving people a shot, like governments of today are giving people a shot to control them. You know, we're not cattle. You know, we're not cattle. But we are beautiful, beautiful beings meant to create a much better and happier world. That's why I don't think this period in our in human history will last very long. I think we're coming right to the end right now, and it'll be soon all over. But President Kennedy is saying that he wants everyone to remain strong and know that he's right with you there. You know, they did kill him back in November 22nd, 1963, but ever since that time, he's been on the other side, and he's been working tirelessly for peace. And he's always been our president since then, a real president, not a fake president on some CGI screen, who wears a mask and doesn't care about people. He's not a stooge. He works basically for with and for God, basically, in helping humanity achieve a beautiful paradise, which is what we're supposed to have. Of course, Jackie's been working too all this time. These are our genuine people as our president and first lady, not these fake characters running around. But President Kennedy has never stopped being our president, and he's back us, of course, 100%. We also have the backing of all the great presidents of this great country in human history, including, of course, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Quincy Adams, Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy. They're all here, and they're all helping us as much as they can from the other side. The Pleiadians are the same. They're helping us as much as they possibly can. But one thing that they do respect, and they do abide by what's called cosmic law. They will not interfere unless it's a matter of life and death. If we're ready to kill ourselves, for example, with the nuclear war, then they have authorization from the Supreme Being to stop, come in and stop us. But saving that, we're basically on our own, and we're the best. We're the ones we've been waiting for. We ourselves are supposed to clean up this mess and stop it. That's why it's so important to get out there. I admire and applaud the people of Amsterdam and Holland who stood up to their government. Their government was trying to shut down like 11,000 farms in Holland under the guise of climate change, which is a bunch of bullshit. To control the food supplies in Europe, to starve people out, to force them into a new communist state. People didn't want to have anything to do with it. And they stood up and they protest. They've turned things around. They've done the same thing in Paris as well. Macron, I'm not sure what's happened to Macron, but I think he's on his way out. There are elections today in Italy. You're not going to hear about that in our media. But there's some good candidates there. People are sick and tired of being locked down for the shot program. Their last prime minister was called Draco, a reptilian. But they actually have humans running now for office in Italy. I think there's going to be good things coming from that. I don't see the European Union lasting more, maybe another 4 months, 6 months. I think that's going to fall apart, and each country is going to go back on their own. And to give people freedom. People are tired of being told what to do and enslaved. All the plans of the World Economic Forum are going to fall apart. I don't see any of them succeeding. This shot program that they put in was meant to kill 95% of us here on this planet. And as I explained earlier, that's because in 22 other star systems, negative extraterrestrials have come into a planet like Earth. Offered benefits to the elites and said, look, if you work with us, we'll make you the preeminent powers on planet Earth. And, but we want you to eliminate 95% of the population so that we can create a slave-like population controlled to extract all resources. And at the end, in these 22 other star systems in this universe, the reptilians have always blown up the planet with an anti-matter bomb. And that was their plan, past tense. That was their plan for planet Earth. But it's not going to be allowed. It's not going to work out. And this planet has been slated for a long time for the ascension. And that's why we've got so many different civilizations watching us now to see what we do as a species, as a race, to improve ourselves. We all volunteered to come here to help with the ascension, and we're learning lessons left and right. So I want President Kennedy says he wants everyone to be strong and to know that you have a lot of angels around you, and if you all stand up in unison against this nonsense, we will win. There's no way they can win if we all stand up against it. He said, "Don't give your authority away. Don't let others make decisions for you." I know I hear a lot of people say, "Oh, I didn't want to lose my job. I had to take the shot, or else I would have lost my job." Well, which is worse, losing your job or being dead? Because there's three levels of death with the shot program. The first level is within 14 days of a heart attack or a stroke. The second level is within 6 months of cancer or any number of other diseases. And the third level is dying from either AIDS or mad cow disease within about a year and a half to 2 years. And already, I know I had a discussion with Dr. Pavlovsky earlier about this, but already about a third of the, no, 10% of the United States is dead, 35 million. Guess what the cabal is using and Biden is using to replace them? The millions of illegals now coming across the border. Just a couple days ago, the Democrats in the House voted to give voting rights to all illegals in the United States. And believe it or not, last week I heard another story where Biden's Border Patrol agents, under direct orders from Biden and the cabal, are letting people in along the Texas border. And as the illegals come across the border, they're handing out Social Security cards so they can tap in to Social Security that hardworking Americans donated, put in their earnings, maybe for a lifetime. And now we're letting the illegals come in to take it. The other thing happening too, and I've mentioned this before, is that Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, has a company that makes money off of adrenochrome and sex trafficking of children and young women. And one of the things happening right now is that up to 40,000 children per month are being taken into the sex trade, thanks to Biden's directions along the border there. Biden is letting the sex traffickers take these children. And if that doesn't upset you, I find it reprehensible that this is being done. Why don't we go to the border and seal it up on our own? We don't have to rely upon Biden. You know he's not going to do anything about it. It's time to take our country back. I'm not saying in a violent way. I think peacefully is the way to go, like Mahatma Gandhi said, but something needs to be done. It's a little bit like Abrahalosaurus said to me last weekend. I was watching these protesters, tens of thousands of people in Amsterdam and Paris, and he said, "Where are the Americans?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't know where we are." Of course, all of us are doing the best we can. We're often busy in our lives, but if they come knocking at your door, what are you going to do? Biden has hired 87,000, is hiring 87,000 new people to be IRS agents, and they will all be armed with assault rifles, the AR-15s, with instructions to kill Americans. That's one of the requirements of the job, that they be able to kill Americans. And one of the target groups he's been asking to have him join these new 87,000 force with the AR-15s is our Antifa and Black Lives Matter in Portland and Seattle and other cities. So these are the same folks who shoot people, kill them if you don't agree with them, shut down businesses and burning down cities. Now they're going to be given a federal badge armed with an AR-15 to what? I mean, if that doesn't, that bothers me. I don't know how other people feel about it, but it just kind of bothers me a little bit. Certainly the scenario is getting ready. People have to take our country back. And the revolution in 1776 started with a tax on tea by King George. A tax on tea. Like a penny or two on tea. And there was a whole revolution creating a new country over a tax on tea. You have all this stuff going on. Do you think it's time? Maybe we have a second peaceful American revolution? I think so. This is what my presidential friends have been saying. But it's an exciting time to be alive. We've all asked to be here now. And I know things will get better. Next month, according to my Pleiadian friends, will be a game changer. I'm not sure exactly what's going to go on, but I know that a lot of things are going to be happening next month, a lot of good things. They keep mentioning the date of October 22nd, and I'm not sure exactly. I'm hoping that the med beds will be released then. It'd be great to have that available to people. But I don't know. Maybe Biden will be leaving office then. I don't know whoever Biden is. Maybe Trudeau will be leaving office. I don't know. But they said good things will be happening next month. So really looking forward to that. And the other messages I'm getting from my Pleiadian and Galactic friends is to remain strong. And you've got to stand up for yourself. Stop giving your authority away. If somebody demands that you take the shot, absolutely refuse. There's good grounds here in the United States and other countries to sue them and win for damages. There are so many people dying right now that you can. There's so many, and there's lots of studies out there. You can do even on Google on the web. You can find thousands of articles documenting the amount of deaths now coming from the shot program. There's no reason at all to take it now. And actually, Biden himself said a few days ago that the scamdemic is over and there's no reason to have any more shots. You can just use his own words. I expect all this stuff to get a lot better through the spring. I was talking to a psychic friend, and she was saying that she expected the energies to really change starting in March, but I think it's going to be sooner than that. And I look to May, things getting kind of back to normal again. I wouldn't fly right now if you have a choice of flying, just because a lot of pilots have taken the shot and they could have a heart attack or a stroke in mid-flight. I mean, that's always a possibility. There's a lot of that happening now. Actually, British Airways is canceling, what is it? It's 10,000 flights this winter. That's not normal. And you know why they're canceling? Because they don't have the personnel. They don't have the pilots to fly the planes now. Because a lot of them are dead or disabled, or they got Guillain-Barré disease, or they got cancer, or they've had a stroke, or they're not living anymore. And that's their own damn fault, because they were told, they were warned by a lot of activists not to give the shot program to the pilots. They did anyway, and this is what you got. Unless they wanted to intentionally commit suicide. I think all the airlines will be facing that issue, especially here in the United States. Other countries, however, like Mexico, where hardly anybody's taken the shot, their airlines, Aeromexico and the other excellent airlines in Mexico, are going to do just fine. Their economy is going to do just fine. And I really want to hand it to the president of Mexico for not pushing the shot issue with the Mexican people, because he basically saved his people and has saved his culture and saved their economy too, by not pushing the shot program when this corrupt, illegal government was doing that to its own people for the past year and a half, 2 years. Our own institutions have been actively trying to eliminate us, and now we're going to be bearing the fruits of that as well. There are remedies available. There's inexpensive remedies, and there's a sheet that I've prepared with remedies from various medical doctors. I'm happy to send it to anyone if you ask. Just send me if you'd like a copy of that, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or send an email to outofthisworldradio@protonmail.com. I'm happy to send it to you free of charge. The remedies work. But you need two things. You have to believe in God or higher spiritual powers, and you want to live. If you don't want to live, and or you don't believe in God, then they won't be as effective for you, I'm sorry to say. But there is help out there, and it's available if you ask for it. The Pleiadians are helping us right now, because they don't want us to suffer like they did 52,000 years ago, when millions, tens of millions of people died in a civil war with nuclear weapons among the Pleiadians. They don't want us to go through that to evolve. And we don't need to. We don't have to. We can benefit from their experience. There are humans just like us who went through horrible pain and suffering and conflict to evolve. We don't have to go through what they did, and they're trying to help us save ourselves so we don't destroy ourselves in the process. There's no reason for us to have another war, even though the cabal and Biden keeps pushing for war. There's no reason for us to have a war. Instead, like President Kennedy is telling me now, look for the good in people and look for the common linkages that we all have. President Kennedy, for example, back in 2015, helped negotiate a peace agreement between President Trump and Kim Jong-un of North Korea. And he went into the subconscious mind of both men and said, they both leaders of North Korea and the United States wanted peace. They didn't want a nuclear war destroying each other's countries. And they went in and they pulled back and reached a peace agreement. And you know, now there's no problems with North Korea at all. And I want to thank President Kennedy so much for his peace work. A couple of years later, I think it was in 18, he negotiated another peace agreement among the powers in the Middle East to so that there wouldn't be a war in the Middle East. And that's held, actually. That's a peace agreement between Saudi Arabia and Iran. I can't remember the other parties, but President Kennedy told me about it when he was working on it, and he said, just keep it quiet till it's done, and it's done now. So I guess I can talk about it. But he's working on peace agreements now behind the scenes. He hasn't told me where, but that's fine. But I want you to let you know he's still working for peace tirelessly, as he has been ever since he was assassinated back on November 22nd, 1963. He's still our president, as Jackie is still our first lady, and they're the real thing. They are our real president and our real first lady, not all these fake characters going behind the scenes. I've asked Nostradamus about what will our government look like in the future. And he said, because people will be living in the higher dimensions and will be able to communicate telepathically, that people will not be, they won't be able to lie to each other like they do now. And they only will be able to tell the truth because we'll be living in a higher dimension. Once that happens, we will not need government to regulate ourselves because everyone will know how to act. I've talked about this before, but if you look at a flock of geese or a flock of birds, if they're flying like a flock of geese, they're flying in one way, and there's no geese police to arrest any of the individual, an individual goose for flying too fast or whatever, or taking a left turn without signaling. They know how to act, and so there's no need for any heavy-handedness from the state because people know how to act. That time is coming. Nostradamus said that he doesn't see having power invested in one executive for the whole country, like a president, is too much power. And he said having a Congress where you've got like almost 500 members of the House and Senate all together is too much dispersal because there's no one. It's harder to hold people accountable. And so he sees a council of being created in the future, a very spiritual people who will make the right decisions for humanity. That's what he sees happening. We'll probably have the same flag in the future, but it'll be a very different kind of government. Government will get a lot smaller. We'll still need a government to regulate relations between the people of this country and the world, with benevolent extraterrestrials off planet. So we'll still need that, but we won't have the kind of government we have today. It has served its purpose. It's become far too corrupt. It doesn't work very well right now. We have a good court system in many ways, especially the Supreme Court's fine. But the other sectors of government aren't working as well as they should. And so people will want a new form of government where they don't abdicate their authority. People will be responsible for their own lives, but in a good way, and they'll be much more loving and giving and service to others than they are now. So you won't need government social service programs. You won't need the heavy police state that you've got now. People will be living 400, 500, 600 years, up to 1,000 years in the future because they will have good health and they can have immortality if they want it, desire it. And so there just won't be the problems today, which all stem from conflict, war, and fighting. That's the old way of doing things, and we're leaving that behind. For people who want to stick with the old ways and want to fight and want to have conflict, there's a new planet on the other side of the solar system that's been created, a lower third dimensional planet where they will go and work out their karma for the next, how many years? 25,800 years. That's how long it takes for this sun to go around the central sun of the Milky Way galaxy. And they'll be there. That's one called a one Khatun cycle. It's one ascension cycle. But for the rest of us who want to ascend, the time is right now. And I urge everyone listening today to make the right choices. I actually have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to talk to the other side, as well as to benevolent extraterrestrials. If you'd like, it's just $100 a month or $25 a week for up to half hour instruction. You can sign up on my website at outofthisworldreadings.com. That's readings plural.com, or you can just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or outofthisworldradio@protonmail.com. Either one will get to me just fine. There's a lot of souls who wanted to be here at this time. but couldn't because there weren't enough bodies going around. So it's a privilege to be here. All of us should, all of you listen, everyone listening today should consider themselves lucky to be here on planet Earth at this time. It's, I'm not saying it's easy here, but if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere in this universe. And that says a lot. Once we get through this and create a beautiful and happy planet, this planet will be looked at as a model for other other civilizations and other dimensions and other universes as to how different races, different species can all get along on one planet and live harmoniously and not be fighting all the time. They will be amazed. And that's the kind of world that we're looking at right now. We are totally on track. And actually, Nostradamus has told me that we're all ahead of schedule. Originally, back in the late 80s, Nostradamus saw us shifting into the fifth dimension by the year 2038. Well, last time I checked, it was 2022. We are now 16 years ahead of schedule. Yeah, 16 years ahead of schedule. So, and we should all pat ourselves on the back for making the right choices to make this world a better place. It started with many different things, but right after he, Nostradamus saw, he wrote in this, he gave a channeled message to Dolores Cannon in Messages from Nostradamus. It's an interesting three volume set, Conversations with Nostradamus, I urge you to read it. Right after that, a lot of people started clamoring for the Berlin Wall to come down, for the nuclear arms race to be ended, for negotiations with Soviet Mikhail Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan at the time, the US government. And they did, they followed through on it and they carried it out. And that pressure for world peace resulted in the acceleration of the ascension on this planet, leading to the stage of today. So I remember those days where people were very interested in peace. They didn't want a nuclear war, and they were very afraid of something happening like that. Well, all of those, that big push for a better world without nuclear weapons resulted in a peace agreement back in the early 90s with the Soviet Union falling apart, with each country, you know, following their own path and giving people, millions of people, freedom in the world that hadn't had freedom at all. And it was an amazing time to be alive, and that's continuing. We're still reaping the benefits of those wonderful movements back then, now. And we're also heading into a new dimension. And there is nothing, the battle has been won. The war has been won, but there are some battles still going on. But by this time next month, I think by the middle, by the end, toward the end, third week in October, you're going to see some amazing revelations, amazing changes. I think the med beds are going to finally start coming out. The med beds were supposed to come out in January of last year. And then, because the White Hats were going to arrest Joe Biden when he was inaugurated as the fake president in January of last year. But then the cabal threw a temper tantrum. And they said that they wanted Biden inaugurated as the fake president, and they threatened to blow up Washington, D.C. with a nuclear bomb, dirty nuclear bomb, if they didn't follow that. So that's what I heard the story was, so that everything got postponed. There's been absolutely nothing good come out of the Biden administration, absolutely not one thing good. I challenge anyone to list one good thing that Biden's done. I can't find anything at all, nothing. But soon he'll be gone. And I think during this time, I wish Trump had come back in a way, but on the other hand, maybe he stayed away so that we all learn to stand on our own two feet rather than rely upon somebody else for help. Because ultimately, that's who's going to help us is ourselves. And you know, in spite of all of our problems here in the United States, people still look to this country as a guidance. Because I have friends in Canada saying that if the U.S. goes down the tank, then there's no hope for the world. And I agree. I think that we have a responsibility here to act responsibly and stand up for our rights. Don't let them take our authority away. You know, these puppet governors and puppet big pharma corporations and puppet Biden, they have no authority over us. Biden signs executive orders which aren't even legal. They're blank pieces of paper. They have to be published in the Federal Register in order to be valid, and they're not never published in the Federal Register. So his whole presidency is a fake. It's all fake. And people say that he actually died several years ago. And if that's the case, why is anybody following him at all? is beyond me. But I know that we have a beautiful new world ahead of us. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening today. I know if we all work together, we can create a much better and happier world. On Monday, day after tomorrow, I'll be having Patricia Corey on my German and English show. She's a famous American author, a psychic, and she also works with the Sirian High Council from Sirius B. Sirius has three planets, Sirius A, B, and C. Sirius A is a negative planet allied with the Reptilian Empire. Sirius B is a positive planet allied with the Galactic Alliance, and where dolphins and whales come from. And Sirius C is a planet that I honestly don't know too much about, but I think it's kind of like a dwarf planet some distance away. But she does work with Sirius B, the dolphins and whales, and she's a wonderful lady, written many books, and I hope that you can all listen to that. Don, I want to thank you so much for helping me today. I really appreciate all your support. The purpose of my show is to make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that if we all work together, we can create a much better planet. Thank you all so much for listening today, and I hope you all have a really beautiful and happy weekend. The purpose of my show is to make this world a much better place, and I know if we all work together, we will create a paradise here on Earth. I look forward to seeing you all on Monday at 12 noon Pacific time, 9 p.m. Central European time. It'll be my German and English show. And a week from today, Ty Bollinger will be coming on, as well as James Redfield, the famous author of the Celestine Prophecy. So if you have any questions for Ty Bollinger or James, Mr. Redfield, please send them to me. From my heart to yours, and much love to everyone, thank you so much for listening today. I really appreciate it. And together, I know we can make a better world together. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.